Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophonous cavalcade of conversation. Thanks for joining us tonight. We've got a good one on tap, and you're going to want to be here for this. To help set the stage, it is the ultimate dark and stormy night here in the desert. We've had spectacular lightning displays, severe thunderstorm warnings, high winds, torrential rains, flash flood warnings, emergency buzzers sent out to cell phones, wild stuff. Perfect night to stay inside, curl up, listen to the natural world as it rumbles by, and listen to us, of course. In anticipation of speaking with Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton from Skinwalker Ranch, I dug into some old boxes of material I've had stashed away from way back at the beginning of the Bigelow era at Skinwalker, before most of the world had ever heard a peep about the property. His team, Robert Bigelow's team of scientists from NIDS, started chronicling the things that were seen and heard and experienced on the property and in its three homesteads. Exactly 25 years ago this week was an incredibly stressful time for the family living on this property. A large orange globe was seen hovering over the ranch multiple times. And in one incident, this rancher shined his flashlight at this big orange glob in the sky. And as soon as he did, a smaller blue orb came zipping out and headed right for him. And having encountered these blue orbs up close and personal in the past, the rancher wanted no part of that. So he took cover, ducked into his house. This was also the same time period when the rancher had spotted these gigantic cookie cutter type scoop marks in the ground, hundreds of pounds of soil in each of these holes, just gone, scooped up as if by heavy equipment or a backhoe or something. But no one had been on the property with any kind of equipment like that except the ranch family themselves. This family moved out of the property not long thereafter, and the NIDS organization is, of course, long gone, as many of you probably know. And so is BASS. That's the organization created a decade later to carry out a wide-ranging government-funded investigation. Ostensibly, it was supposed to be about UFOs, but in reality, it looked at a much broader, much wider range of phenomena, which is why Skinwalker Ranch was certainly of interest. In fact, the ranch is what inspired that study funded by the DIA in the first place. Thankfully, the ranch property got into the hands of the current owner, Brandon Fugel, who has reinvigorated the investigation. He's hired a new team, spent a pile of dough on cameras and equipment and sensors and qualified consultants, and he allowed a television network to document all their work. So season two of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch just concluded earlier this month. A lot of Skinwalker fans are now jonesing, I think, for some conversation, some insight, some hints about what's to come. So tonight, the owner of the ranch, Brandon Fugel, is here. He's brought along Thomas Winterton, the ranch manager, who is certainly familiar to anyone who's seen the program. And so for the next 2 hours, we will talk to them about what happened over the past year, what, if anything, happened off camera, how it's affected the team personally, what they hope to do next, and everything else we can cram into 2 hours, including some calls from Coast listeners. Can't wait to get started on that. In the second half tonight, another kind of mystery. Those of you with an interest in ancient Egypt, the pyramids, might recall a big discovery back in 2017. They used these sensors, and they found a pretty big, undetected, unexpected void right in the inside the Great Pyramid. Some experts have tried pretty hard to downplay it, even though it caught them flat-footed, completely by surprise. Scott Creighton is an engineer and an author, and he's written a provocative new book called The Great Pyramid Void Enigma. It's not going to make him popular with the pyramid poobahs. This goes way beyond a small academic kind of disagreement. It deals with planetary fundamentals and ancient history, and I know you're going to enjoy hearing what Scott has championed. Our webmaster, Ryan Stacey, and I have pulled together our usual assortment of items and oddities culled from various news outlets around the world. We call it Knapp's News. You can find it on the Coast to Coast AM website. Among the stories there tonight, a few that directly relate to our conversations this evening, including a story about electromagnetism and how it might be a tool to bend space-time, which it turns out is something that Brandon says he's asked his team to explore at Skinwalker Ranch. There's a story, an interview with a UFO hunter, a guy who's been at this for more than 60 years, but to his surprise, his pursuit of UFOs led him into paranormal and cryptid realms that he never really expected to encounter. It's very similar to what's been reported at the ranch. We have a think piece about what's missing in the UAP debate, plus is intellect stronger than intuition, or the other way around? Check out those stories and more in Knapp's News, and while you're there on the website, take a look at how to become a Coast Insider. If you subscribe for a year, the cost is about 15 cents a day, gives you access to a huge archive of programs and interviews, including the Art Bell Vault. You can listen anytime you want, not necessarily or solely in the middle of the night, and you can listen to a show as often as you want. It's a great deal. So is a subscription to George Norrie's television program, Beyond Belief, wherein George interviews fascinating guests about intriguing topics similar to what he does here on the radio, so check that out as well. With that, let's assume the position. Bring in the dog and the cat and the chicken and the chupacabra, put on a pot of Joe, slide your bod into those silky summer jammies and your toes into your best bunny slippers, plop yourself down in a comfy spot, turn down the lights and turn up the radio because we're about ready to rumble. In a moment, Brandon Fugel, Thomas Winterton, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, and What Comes Next. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. For 2.5 decades now, the world's been hearing about Skinwalker Ranch, about the range of paranormal weirdness that seems to be centered there. It's the most intensely studied UFO and paranormal hotspot in the world. But this is not a tidy little mystery that can be summed up in an hour of TV. It's hard. The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch is a series airing on the History Channel, just completed its second season. You might recall that back at the beginning of the season, we interviewed and spoke with ranch owner Brandon Fugel, and he agreed now to return to talk about what was accomplished both in the production of the series and the ongoing work that his team is doing on the ranch. And he brought along one of his most trusted aides, Thomas Winterton, who is the manager of the ranch and has lived in the Uinta Basin for a long time, knows the turf, and has the scars to prove it, literally. Brandon and Thomas, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you, George.
Brandon, let's start with this. Did the season work as a TV show? I mean, what do you hear from the History Channel? Are they happy? Are your viewers happy? What do you think?
Thankfully become a huge hit. Season one saw this as the biggest hit that history had seen in years, with millions of viewers, and season two just built the momentum further. I mean, our season finale that recently aired, I think it brought in 3 million viewers, give or take, and that's what is accounted for. That doesn't count all of those that are off the radar or not being tracked. So it is a huge hit, which is gratifying. We love to have the public along for the adventure and are really pleased that so many people are willing to follow the journey of our team and our investigation as we delve deeper into these mysteries.
You know, you and I have talked before. You knew going into this was not a tidy mystery, that it was elusive, it was tricky, it's a challenge in terms of trying to get to the bottom of what's going on there. I see your interaction on social media all the time. You politely answer questions, you respond to criticisms with way more patience than I could ever muster. Big picture, though, you know, it is hard for people to get their heads around the ranch and the nature of reality. People get attracted to the story. Maybe it's because of UFOs, as some earlier investigations were attracted by. And then they find out there's a whole lot more going on there, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the center of gravity for more paranormal and unexplained phenomena than anywhere else on the planet. And really the site of more focused scientific investigation, hands down, especially the last several years, as we've brought in countless third-party experts, you know, engineers, scientists, researchers to assist the team and capture it all on camera for the public to follow along with and to see the disclosure firsthand along with us.
Thomas, you must hear the same kind of thing. People will tell you, I can't buy it. I don't believe it. It's too much to digest. All that weirdness in one place. It's too much for a lot of people who are new to the general field to handle. How much did you know about the ranch before you became involved directly? And were you surprised by how real it is, how weird it is?
Yeah, you know, when I hear people say that, I relate to them very well because that was my mindset when I came on the ranch. And I remember going on it the first time and looking around and just, you know, in my mind thinking, I don't see what the big deal is. It looks like, I mean, it's a beautiful place, but for all the stories that were there, and having grown up in the basin, I had heard the rumors that had gone around and the various stories of the ranch. But I was very skeptical myself, and I guess an unbeliever in that sense. And I have to say, I was very hard-headed and stubborn, and it took a little bit of time for me to finally accept that there's definitely more going on that ranch than meets the eye.
And it came knocking on your noggin, too, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You know, Brandon, the challenge that your team has faced at the ranch is that whatever is there is intelligent. It has an intelligence. It's not predictable. It doesn't do things the same way over and over like some natural phenomena. It's furtive. It's secretive. It likes to surprise. I mean, it calls the shots to a large degree, right?
Oh, correct. Correct. And it comes and goes, is transient in nature and completely unpredictable and obviously utilizing everything from advanced stealth or cloaking to even being able to manipulate our consciousness.
You know, season two just ended. Looking back at the episodes, as I was rereading the encapsulations on the History Channel's site, it seems to directly try to, you want to try to goad this thing into responding, to showing itself, to communicating in a sense. And so you did a lot of experiments along those lines. You did some digging, for example. You shot off rockets, different sizes, packed with sensors. You brought people onto the property, and newcomers sometimes are known to kind of stir the pot out there. Give me a sense of how that worked. I mean, it seemed to be a concerted effort by you to engage, to start some trouble, start something going.
Well, we were really focused on increasing our investigative protocols and bringing on an even greater number of third-party experts to delve into this. I mean, we drilled 100 feet down in the infamous triangle area that seems to be an area of focus on the ranch. And you couple with that all of the other individuals that we brought on the property. I mean, for the first time ever, former deputy sheriff Chris Porritt, who had actually responded to reports back in the 1980s from the, you know, from the Myers, from Kenneth and Edith Myers, period of time long before the Shermans acquired the property from their heirs. I mean, you know, Deputy Sheriff Porritt engaged with the team and related his own firsthand experiences of responding to, you know, disturbing cattle mutilation reports and even, you know, that attested to the fact that the Myers had confided in him that they had experienced what he called alien activity and all sorts of disturbing events on the property. I mean, to have first party, you know, firsthand witnesses come forward, very credible individuals for the first time, and join with the team to give their account and to show where these events occurred and to relate that is unprecedented. As you would know better than anyone, George, I mean, you broke this story on the ranch as it relates to the Bigelow investigation. And this raises the bar, not only relative to the ranch investigation, but I think the topics surrounding, you know, this effort.
Well, I thought you filled in a lot of gaps this season, and that deputy was one of them, because he directly refutes some of the downplaying that we've heard over the years. Oh, nothing happened there before the Shermans arrived. Nothing at all happened in the ranch, in the environment around the ranch. It's all kind of made up. It's recent events. Well, it's not, you know?
No, in fact, his testimony coupled with others underscores the fact that there have been very real incidents occurring on this property going back, you know, nearly 100 years. And we're going to continue to bring that evidence forward and those firsthand accounts, along with, you know, I think scientific rigor and investigation that will hopefully allow us to understand what is really at work here.
Thomas, I'd like to know about the challenges on a personal level. You know, are you comfortable being on television? That comes with its own set of challenges. Brandon has a high profile because of his business interests, but you live in a small town. You're accessible.
Yeah, it's been an interesting transition, and it has taken some getting used to, some adjustment. But, you know, I enjoy the interaction with those people that are curious about the ranch. And, you know, being in a small area, it's gotten to the point that I can't go anywhere without getting stopped at the store or wherever I happen to be. But, you know, the fun thing is that as I go around in my travels in the basin, people stop me. And I think the surprising thing to me has been how many people here in the basin have had their own experience. And it's been everything from community leaders to ecclesiastical leaders, very credible, grounded people. And they always stop me and they say, now, if you tell anybody what I said, I'm going to deny it. But then they go on to tell me their own story because they don't want to be looked at as crazy. But there's been so many people that have stopped and shared their own experiences with me. It's been interesting. My wife doesn't send me to the store anymore if she needs something quick.
So. Yeah, it's a mixed bag for you because you don't strike me as somebody who would necessarily be comfortable being a celebrity in your hometown.
It's taken some adjustment.
Brandon, let's talk about the risks. So the risks are real. And, you know, it's a reason you don't open up the ranch to the public. You can't predict what's going to happen. As you and I have talked before, people might think that's hype, but it's true. Sometimes it is physically perilous, and we'll talk to Thomas about that in a moment, but that's true, right? You've seen it.
Well, I've seen it with my own eyes. I mean, we had even recently this last year, you know, a number of people end up in the hospital. We had an incident where an ambulance had to be sent out, was dispatched to retrieve someone that had something happen, and the danger is very real. And what we're dealing with is sometimes very disturbing. I mean, we're definitely dealing with malevolent forces, or at least forces that we don't understand, that in many cases are one step ahead of us, or, you know, bite back to a degree when you least expect it. So the armed security detail that we keep 24/7 under the watchful eye of Dragon and Caleb is not something to be taken lightly or really taken for granted. We truly do believe that there is a health and safety risk and a protocol that we have to follow relative to this 512 acre piece of property.
Thomas, I don't want to cross any lines with you, but you had an injury. It was serious. It was real. You tell me how much you want or comfortable saying about that.
Well, you're welcome to ask me any questions regarding it. And, you know, if we get into areas I don't feel comfortable with, I'll just be honest and say I'm not comfortable. But, yeah, I did experience a traumatic head injury without the trauma. It's something that baffled not only the doctors that are attending to me, but they were consulting with very well-known neurologists here in the state of Utah, experts out in the Wasatch Front, as well as nationally. They were consulting with some of their colleagues across the country, and all of them were baffled. Matter of fact, you know, the hospitals out there in Salt Lake, the Intermountain Healthcare and the University of Utah, both very well-respected medical institutions. The one, when they were trying to decide whether they were going to transfer me out of Roosevelt and the hospital here, IHC said, well, you could send them out here, but we wouldn't know what to do with them either. And so definitely had the doctors baffled, and they had no explanation for what was occurring or what had caused it. And it nearly cost me my life. There was one point that my doctor told my wife to prepare herself for the fact that I may not come out of it. And if I do, that there could be some significant brain trauma and she may have to feed me for the rest of my life. So it was a very, very scary time for my family, for myself. The injury was something that I still can't wrap my head around to this day. There was the physical aspects of it, and then there were the psychological aspects that were part of it as well. And then, you know, the investigation that continues this day is to try to figure out and understand what happened. So it turned my world upside down, and it's been a journey to try to understand and reconcile.
Well, we're going to jump into some of the episodes from this season, what worked and what didn't, and what might be coming next, assuming there's a season three. We're talking with Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton from Skinwalker Ranch. You know, the Skinwalker Ranch tends to size people up, at least it feels that way. Sometimes it tests people harshly, those who come in with kind of negative vibes, defiant, angry. Occasionally, though, it also hurts people who don't seem to have it coming. We're going to find out what Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton think about that. Some of the experiments that were conducted this past season, which ones worked, which ones didn't, and what goes on at the ranch while the TV cameras are away. We'll be right back with more of Coast to Coast AM. Brandon, another member of your team, Dr. Travis Taylor, I have to imagine this when he comes into season one, onto the property for the first time, he's thinking to himself, I'll figure this out, have this wrapped up in a couple of weeks, I'll move on to something else. That's not how things worked out for Travis. He's another injury, radiation, right?
Right. Yeah, not only did he go to the hospital, but Dr. Taylor ended up becoming an experiencer. He went from skeptic to also, you know, in addition to having his own acute medical episode, you know, actually experiencing and seeing with his own eyes, with multiple witnesses present, and, you know, scientific instrumentation recording anomalies, you know, he's stood as witness to the high strangeness that continues to play out at the Walker Ranch.
One of the frustrating things that happens, you'll have sensors, different kind of equipment that will tell you something odd is happening in a spot, and then it goes away and doesn't happen there again. Like gamma radiation, you had radiation there, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's transient. It's unpredictable, transient. It moves, you know, from place to place on the property, and it's baffling.
What is underground, Thomas? You were directly involved in drilling and digging and exploring underground. The story has always been, as long as I've been around the ranch, that the previous owners had passed this along, that digging, you know, they tried to discourage digging. The NIDS guys suspected that disturbing the ground would stimulate activity. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Could you give us a summary of your experience, Thomas, with the disturbing the ground there, and what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, this was passed down to us that it was dangerous to dig on the ranch. I didn't believe it at first, and as ranch manager, there's many of my responsibilities that require me to do digging, whether it's cleaning ditches or fence posts or whatever, and I've noticed that after digging or during digging, strange things happen either to myself or to the equipment or those that are involved. And as we're going on, well, over 5 years now, there's a pretty good track record there that shows that when we dig, it stimulates some strange activity.
But you never know what it's going to be.
No, and it doesn't always happen immediately while we're digging. I mean, there's been times, you know, I'll be working on my equipment and dig, and everything will go fine, and I'll go home, and I'll come back a couple days later, and there'll be a serious problem with the equipment that was doing the digging, you know, a few days earlier. So it's not always immediate.
One of the things I really appreciated about this second season, Brandon, is that your team was able to document a lot of the little things that add up. You know, so much of what happens at the ranch is these little oddities that pop up. They don't repeat themselves necessarily. Compasses that go spinning and crazy, electrical gear that quits, batteries that die, vehicles that stall, all this kind of electromagnetic phenomena are regular occurrence, never predictable. And the previous investigations didn't have TV cameras around with them. They didn't document any of that. You've documented all of those things and more.
Correct. And it's corresponded with, in many cases, digging activities. When they were digging at and drilling at the Triangle site. You know, as you probably recall in watching season two, some of those later episodes, there also we had another crew that was exploring another region of the property where we had the strange death of the cow that occurred. Well, in tandem with these digging activities, all of a sudden, caught on camera, they end up not only seeing the electromagnetic anomalies, but the compass readings start going crazy. I mean, the compass starts spinning and doing so unpredictably. And you can't, I mean, when you have that happen on multiple occasions, caught on camera, unscripted, unprompted, I mean, none of this is fabricated or contrived. We're just letting it play out, and we're allowing the team to be filmed simultaneous with these investigative activities. It really is compelling.
And when it comes to electromagnetic effects, what's generating it, do you think? I know I saw a social media post that you put out earlier this week, and I posted the story where you're going to have the team look into electromagnetic effects and what it can do to space-time. That's a pretty tall order.
Yeah. Well, we brought some of the most aggressive Tesla coil experiments to the property. And you know, the expert, the engineer that Dr. Taylor brought on the property in order to conduct those experiments was completely astonished by the results, by the fact that the electrical frequencies triggered during the experiment dramatically exceeded at a higher frequency. I mean, up in the megahertz, power that was far in excess of what the Tesla coil could produce. And then you had the quantum random number generator that Eric Bard was operating that kept being shut off for no explainable reason. You know, the engineer that was present for that experiment helping to conduct that, his name was Cameron Prince, stated he has never witnessed anything like that occur in all of his other work and experiments. And he's not alone. we have that happen constantly with a series of other experiments that continue to take place on the property.
Thomas, as you said, you're there day to day, actually managing the ranch, digging and working. And, you know, when the cameras are not there, when the season is not being produced, what happens during those time periods when nobody's around? The same kind of things where equipment dies, batteries fail, vehicles stall, all the kinds of headaches that you have to deal with on a very practical level?
Yeah. You know, when the cameras go away, the investigation continues, and obviously the ranch has responsibilities on it that have to continue in the day-to-day things. And, you know, the ranch doesn't tap dance on command. Sometimes we'll go a period of time where we don't observe anything. It seems to be relatively quiet. Part of me wonders if it's quiet simply because we don't have the correct instrumentation to pick up whatever it is that's taking place, or if it is just truly that, it's quiet. And then there's other times where it becomes very active. And there's been many times where I've been there working on the ranch when I have to stop what I am doing in the middle of the task and vacate the ranch because things start spiking and it becomes unsafe to be there.
I was wondering if you have big events that happen as soon as the cameras get turned off, as soon as the batteries die, you have, because that's how the ranch has responded over the years. You know, it's a trickster. It likes to do that kind of thing. So it would, you know, you have cameras all over the place, Brandon, now. But it used to be they would have these spectacular events right outside the camera range, almost like teasing kind of a thing. I imagine you must have some of that.
Still happens. That still happens, which is very frustrating. I mean, you know, my own experience of witnessing what can only be described as a UFO craft over the Mesa in broad daylight occurred immediately following, you know, equipment malfunction and our smartphones being completely drained. And not having the equipment working or running, in connection with those events can be really, really frustrating. Or having something appear that is witnessed but just off camera or outside of the range of where our surveillance cameras and equipment maybe monitoring the ranch is something that we've had to deal with in the past, and we're trying to improve on. We're just trying to continue to I think expand the scientific platforms and bring more investment to the table. We have to give a lot of credit to Eric Bard, our principal investigator, who has really designed these platforms. I mean, they're proprietary in nature. He's developed a software and really aggregated, I think, some unique technologies in order to better understand what is happening on the ranch.
Eric's a good guy, and he works hard. I wonder, I don't want to cross a line here. We've talked about this before, about what we've called the hitchhiker effect. The ranch kind of sizes people up, and some people have very negative effects and a very negative experience. Sometimes it happens to people who don't seem to have it coming. Thomas, you'd be an example. You seem like a really good guy to me every time we've met. And so I have a hard time figuring out why the ranch had put you through some tough times. But have you seen that happen with visitors who come in there with a bad attitude, or they're defiant and they get what's coming to them?
Sure. Absolutely. I'll take that. We've had people end up in the hospital for weeks, the following day after visiting the property with illness or injury that continues to be unexplained. And a lot of that may relate to the attitude that they bring to the property or whatever baggage. And sometimes I think bad things happen unprovoked. In the case of Thomas, and I'll shut up and pass the baton to Thomas, but sometimes it really is unpredictable and unprovoked.
Well, on the unprovoked side, I have to say that, in my opinion, this hitchhiker effect has happened largely to the individuals, like you say, George, that come on with an attitude of there's nothing going on or don't pay the ranch proper respect. I count myself in as one of those. Again, I came on the ranch very skeptical of the paranormal, and when I was told that I shouldn't be digging, I kind of had a flippant attitude of, this is a ranch, that's what we do, and I'm not going to be scared of, some ghost stories that have been told. And so I wonder if I brought it on myself with my attitude, the ranch taking and proving to me that there is something going on there, and watching others come on, it seems like we have some that come on with a high level of respect and reverence towards the ranch and seem to be able to leave fine without problems. And then others come on and really get terrorized.
And sometimes it lasts a long time. I mean, years from people that I know and trust who've had these ongoing things that spread to their family members, almost like a virus. I was going to ask you, Thomas, you deal with the ranch, the people who are the caretakers there, a husband and wife or a man and woman. And I had talked to previous caretakers who'd spent years on the property. They had a lot of really weird things, poltergeist type trickster events, things moving around in the house, seeing figures outside the window, heavy footsteps. I haven't seen much of that mentioned in the show. Is it not happening, or is it just not included so far? Or maybe I missed it.
I'll be careful not to overstep and speak for them, but
sure.
I will say that in my conversations with them, they have definitely reported strange happenings, everything from this, strange sounds like previous tenants there have reported. I know that they have definitely experienced their share of strange and unexplained things, and there have been a few times where they didn't feel safe to be on the ranch, and they actually left and had to go get a hotel in Vernal because of the things that were taking place. So I do know that they have witnessed their fair share of activities there on the ranch.
Brandon, is there anything you could say about a possible season 3? Has History Channel, is it too early for me to be asking that question, or is there at least some interest? I guess the finale had 3 million viewers. There's got to be some conversations going on.
Yeah, we're commencing filming right away and
wow.
Mobilizing for that effort. We've we've brought to the public 18 episodes that truly peel back the curtain and for the first time reveal in vivid detail what is happening on this really unique piece of property. And I think you can expect another 10 episodes or more. We're going to be conducting a lot more experiments. There is a lot more, I believe, to be revealed and to be studied. And I think we're just getting warmed up. I believe that we're just scratching the surface. And you look at the progression from season one to season two, and it's the same type of progression that we've seen under my stewardship since acquiring the property in April 2016. I mean, the public needs to realize we were conducting experiments and scientific research years before we ever considered bringing a television crew on the property for an investigative series. And long after the cameras leave the property with the professionals, with our production team, the research continues. And when filming concluded for season two, it's not that the activity ceased. In fact, there are quite a few things that have occurred that we're really anxious to bring forward and reveal to the public as soon as possible that I think constitutes some of the most stunning evidence of, you know, the strange phenomena that is occurring on this property.
Yeah, even though the production team has left for a while, you still have cameras on the property and sensors and people. Yeah.
Yeah, 30 surveillance cameras, you know, the most state-of-the-art thermographic and night vision equipment monitoring. I mean, we have our own weather station. We have our own avionics receiving platforms, even infrasonic sensors and seismic equipment out on the property, all in service to truly trying to understand what is happening and to capture it scientifically and to better understand what we are dealing with.
I thought the idea that was advanced in the finale about having an observation platform of some sort, I don't know if it'd be permanent, maybe a balloon with cameras, sensors up there, that's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, we're really taking it up a notch. I mean, bringing the helicopter in at the end to really aggressively monitor what is happening over the ranch and to see if something could be recorded or validated, as everyone knows, ended up revealing, I think, some really disturbing results on camera.
Yeah, I mean, something was flying under that chopper, right?
Yeah, 40 to 50 feet below the helicopter for an extended period of time. In fact, a longer period of time than that which was depicted on the television show. I mean, it tracked along with the pilot and with, you know, Eric Bard and Dr. Taylor for quite a while. And, you know, the mission wasn't aborted lightly. And my brother, who is an expert pilot and aviator, was really scared. I mean, he was very disturbed by what continued and what was showing up on the radar altimeter. I mean, this equipment is life-saving equipment. I mean, it's one thing to have it malfunction or to have something show up, you know, for a few seconds because of whatever, you know, equipment malfunction or you know, potential disturbance, but to have something consistently showing up below the craft and tracking along with it was
creepy.
Crazy.
Yeah, creepy, too. We're talking with Brandon Fugel and Thomas Winterton from Skinwalker Ranch. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side, including this theory that Travis Taylor put out, the finale, about the possibility of a comet or asteroid strike that may have something to do with all the weird phenomena in the Uinta Basin. That and more. We're going to open up the phone line, see what fans of the show might have on their mind, people who've read about the ranch and want to speak to Brandon or Thomas about it. We'll be right back.